We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's time for a new way to talk. Here's Medal of Honor recipient, David
Bellavia.
No, that's not it.
David Bellavia.
That's not how you pronounce it.
Staff Sergeant David Bellavia.
Really? That's how you're going to pronounce it?
David Bellavia.
Ah, come on.
David Bellavia.
It's David Bellavia on WBEN.
Good morning. Welcome to the David Bellavia Show here on News Radio 930. WBEN, top stories, things going on. Well, obviously, it is debate night. The mute button will be in play, and both candidates will be face-to-face with plexiglass for the final time before Election Day, which, by the way, is 12 days away. Full coverage here on WBEN starting at 8 o'clock, and then you can join me at 10:30. We'll be taking your calls. Just like a wild college party until question mark. Also, locally, the county executive says, stop asking about the Bills. No one cares about the Bills. It's a small, vocal majority. But David, he also said, check his social media for the people that he's muted that go after him talking about the Bills. I thought that was an interesting comment.
Oh, there's so much to get to today. Tony Caligiuri and Joe Beamer are behind the decks doing what they do to make this program as smooth running as it appears or it sounds. And I appreciate their hard efforts. Thank you very much. We have an incredible program for you today. Lots of information. We're going to tackle two huge stories break. Of course, the debate is tonight. Donald Trump is doing, the president is handling a fundraiser right before the debate. That, I mean, pretty much shows his confidence level in the fact that he's not going to be cramming for this thing anytime soon. Joe Biden, of course, called a lid on Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, he will not be speaking to the media, nor will... Now, he did do an event... He did do a media interview from his home with ABC Delaware, but that was not open to any national. And we don't even know if that was live or if it was pre-recorded. But Joe Biden getting ready tonight for the debate. A lot has happened before this debate. We heard about the mute button. The big story was not so much the mute button or the fact that people will be silencing the microphones during the opening line of questioning. But, of course, the fact that the entire debate format and the topic of what today's debate was supposed to be. Now, these things are agreed between the campaigns and the commission months ago. As soon as Joe Biden became the nominee, they started opening up negotiations for three debates. Now, the Steve Scully situation, now Trump pulled out of the second debate. Then the Steve Scully story hit. Now, before there was an allegation of his, you know, Twitter feed being hacked, before there was anything involving his lie and his tweet to Scaramucci, there was the 2016 tweet that Steve Scully put out there saying, never Trump, no, not ever. He's been on the record saying that he's anti-Trump. You have a moderator making public statements that he's against one of the candidates who happens to be the sitting president of the United States. I'm telling you right now, even if Trump doesn't pull out of that debate was not going on because your moderator just got busted in a lie saying that he was hacked and has had, you know, personal, I mean, contacting Scaramucci alone, completely inappropriate for a moderator to do. This moderator today, you know, we've seen the FEC reports where her family has donated $35,000 to Biden, raised and bundled money for Obama, spent Christmas with Obama 2 years ago. So, again, you know, the moderator situation, that's for a debate in that's a discussion to have in 2024, how this commission operates and whether or not they're biased and whether or not, honestly, they should be controlling who the moderator is. The campaign should make that decision, not this all-powerful commission. That being said, yesterday we get two truly bombshell stories right after another. I want to play the first few minutes of the Rachel Maddow program on MSNBC. We have a story where the FBI calls, basically holds a press conference and states that Iran using Russian servers, understand the difference, Russia, Iran, China, any foreign actor involving themselves in the 2020 election is exactly what the FBI should be doing, what this administration and DOJ should do. The first moment you know that there is a foreign country going out of their way to meddle in this election, what responsible, the role of government is to immediately state, this is happening, we're on top of it, be advised. None of these things you heard in 2016. James Comey held a press conference to tell us Hillary Clinton was still under investigation for her emails. At no time did you hear the FBI, the President of the United States, the Department of Justice ever state that Russia was interfering in 2016. Those statements only occurred after the election took place. Obama and Vice President Joe Biden did nothing. President Obama at the time did nothing to alert the American people, make us aware of what Russia was intending to do. None of it came to light until after the election was decided in favor of President Donald Trump. Yesterday, this is how Rachel Maddow led off her show.
It's 13 days until the election. Over the last 24 hours, I need to tell you, we at the show have had at least 16 different people, 16 different viewers of this show send us a version of this email. We got these just from regular folks, just viewers of the show who said they received it and were weirded out by it. As you can see here, the subject line is "Vote for Trump or else." The email is made to look like it comes from the violent far-right pro-Trump group, the Proud Boys. That's the group to which the president gave a weird sort of standby shout-out at the first debate. But this email, which again went to at least 16 of our viewers who thought then to send it to us, this email is just a straight-up threat. Again, subject line, vote for Trump or else. And then it says, we are in possession of all your information. What's redacted there is the name of the voter to which this was sent. But it uses the full name of the voter.
All right, so I'm going to stop it right there. Now, first of all, she calls the Proud Boys a pro-Trump far-right organization. Now, what's interesting is that she knows, as she's doing this broadcast, that the press conference has already taken place with Christopher Wray, already taken place with Daniel Ratcliffe, or I should say the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe. And all, isn't Daniel Ratcliffe the Harry Potter? Did I screw that up?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Harry Potter was there. No, John Ratcliffe, DNI, and Christopher Wray, FBI Director. She already knows what the narrative is. She's putting this out there and saying that, okay, but here's what's so curious about this. You have foreign actors that are taking the narrative of the mainstream media and the Democrat Party currently today and stating that the Proud Boys organization is now threatening people to vote for Trump or else. Now, if you know anything about the Middle East, if you know anything about foreign actors, North Korea, Russia, China, there is a difference between Eastern philosophy, Western philosophy, and just the language barrier. One of the things that these intelligence organizations, foreign, do, they really don't understand the way Americans talk, and they don't understand the way Americans, especially when it comes to printed communication. It's one of the things that separates us in the West from the rest of the world, is that we talk a certain way, and we write a certain way. And you can, one of the red flags of any foreign anything is the way that they communicate in the clunkiness of a translated, you know, whether it's Farsi, Urdu, into English. It just sounds like this is something no serious organization or person would ever say. Vote for Trump or else. That's ridiculous, right? Now, we do know that Black Lives Matter and Antifa have been sending emails like this and making these threats in public everywhere. They're stopping cars in the intersection. We've seen this for 3 months. We've seen people interrupted at dinner, give the black power salute, pledge your allegiance to Black Lives Matter. I'm going to dump your table of the meal that you already paid for. All of these things have happened in the United States with American citizens doing this, threatening and intimidating people all across the fruited plain. But Rachel Maddow, knowing full well where the story is going, she's hosting her program. She's reading the letter. Here is what is so intriguing about this letter. Continue.
Information. You are currently registered as a Democrat, and we know this because we have gained access to the entire voting infrastructure. You will vote for Trump on Election Day, or we will come after you. Change your party affiliation to Republican to let us know you received our message and will comply. We will know which candidate you voted for. I would take this seriously if I were you. And then at that point, if the threat isn't loud enough, it gets very much louder when at that point in the email, what's inserted there in that last black box there that we've redacted is the voter's actual physical street address.
Oh, no. Stop it right there. Now, hold on. This has escalated quite quickly. What this is evidence of, and we, by the way, there are reports of Republicans getting similar letters saying vote for Biden or else. We have two states that we know of, and the two states that the FBI has made us aware of is Alaska and Florida. And the threat, of course, is to change your voter registration. Now, when these emails were received, voter registration has already closed in Florida and Alaska. So there's no possible way anyone can change their voter registration. Another thing is anyone that understands our electoral process realizes that it doesn't matter if you change your registration. It's really who you voted for. And if you're going to intimidate someone, the voting booth, there's no possible way that anyone is going to be able to determine whether or not you voted for Biden or Trump and why there would be a threat to that. This would only hit the most base, low IQ person in the world that would think I'm being attacked if I don't vote for Trump or I don't vote for Biden. Take all of that aside. The information that an Iranian proxy using Russian computer servers is sending to registered Democrats is, I know your party affiliation, I know your name, I know your address. What can I do with those three things? If I have access to your address, your name, I can get access to your date of birth. What can I do with your date of birth, your name, and your address, Joe Beamer?
Register to vote.
Holy cow! You could also register for a...
absentee ballot.
Oh my goodness gracious! How do we possibly know that the mail-in process can't be completely taken advantage of when we have the FBI holding a press conference stating that the Iranian proxies, the Russians, the Chinese, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, who knows, has gotten into the voter database information. You can now tell me that there's no, that you know with complete certainty that the mail-in process cannot be abused by anyone. When we just have an entire state's Democratic database targeted by a foreign proxy. You can't say that anymore. There's no excuse over to say, we have no evidence that the mail, there is no evidence whatsoever that anyone is subverting the mail-in process. If you have this information and you have emails and you have addresses, who's to say you can't go and try to apply? Go out there and get an absentee. Look at your absentee ballot information. How do you work it out? You need a signature, you need a date of birth, an address, and then you're able to send it to whatever address you want. If you live in Buffalo and you're registered to vote in Florida, you could put your Florida address, your signature, your date of birth, your name, and you can send it to Buffalo to vote. So using this information alone shows you that a foreign actor has access to information. I want to just hit the brakes here and remind you that Russia, 100% of everyone in the world has agreed that Russia has meddled in the 2016 election. What were the actions of Barack Obama and Joe Biden? What were the actions of the James Comey-led FBI? What were the actions of the Department of Justice? Did anyone hold a press conference? Did anyone tell the American people that the Russians are behind every Bush ready to subvert the American election? No, they did not. They saved that information only at the time when they lost the election. I mean, it's literally happening in real time. Now, the other story that occurs with the FBI 2 hours before we find out Iran and Russia are sending emails to people, have access to voter database information. What do we find out immediately before that? That Hunter Biden, not only is the hard drive real, as the FBI, Department of Justice, and the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, have stated, but that the file 270DBA, that 270 is a designation the FBI uses for money laundering investigations. The D nomenclature stands for multinational, international money laundering operations. That's the investigation. And the BA stands for the Baltimore office. That is proof that the FBI has been investigating Hunter Biden since 2019 with access and a subpoena for that hard drive since 2019. Now, think about that. You have a money laundering, multinational, international investigation in the Baltimore office of the FBI to look into what this hard drive reveals and the potential of it being a criminal enterprise for money laundering. Who is involved in these emails? The allegation, of course, is, as Hunter Biden wrote to his own sister, I'm not going to take half of your money like dad takes of mine. $10 million needs to go to the big guy. H only wants a little taste. That's all. Now, if there's money laundering, it is connected. The allegation, of course, would be that there are the New York Post has only gone through half of the hard drive. The FBI has had this since December of 19. Now, as COVID is infecting the entire world, as Donald Trump is asleep at the wheel while thousands of people are dying, the Democrat Party and the members of the House and the Senate are focused on one thing in American culture. New York, we're focused on flavored vapes and plastic bags. And in Washington, D.C., we're focused on the impeachment of Donald Trump, the impeachment of the United States of America. And the center focus of the impeachment of the United States is that President Trump made phone calls to Ukraine. If that hard drive is in the possession of the FBI, wouldn't it have behooved Donald Trump's defense in that impeachment trial to have that information that the very prosecutor, when they withheld $1 billion of federal funding to the Ukrainian government under Obama, that prosecutor be fired unless they drop the charges on? What was he investigating? The same thing that was investigated by the Ukraine is now currently and was being investigated by the FBI. That is not important information for the voters to know. The Democrats should have known that during the primary. Democrat primary voters should have known that this was going on. Nobody knew. And at the same time that we find out about Iranian-Russian interference in the 2020 election, we find out that the FBI has been investigating Hunter Biden for money laundering. Unbelievable. And none of that was shared in the defense of the President of the United States during an impeachment trial. I mean, come on. We're not talking about Leslie Stahl's bias here. Outrageous. I mean, attention needs to be paid to that. This will all be a part of the debate tonight. Hunter Biden's emails can no longer be stolen by Russia and interference and smear campaigns when the FBI itself has already put a number designation into their investigation since 2019. That's not Russia. That's your Department of Justice. Unbelievable. We'll take your calls at 803-0930. We've got so much more. We're going to get into the Electoral College. We're going to get into the debates. We're also going to talk about New York 27. Stay on hold if you have questions about that. We've got some audio from New York 27 debate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Tonight is the big debate, the final debate. It's actually the second debate because the two dueling town halls aren't considered a debate, although if you watch the NBC one, it sounded more like an assault. But this will be the final debate. I think the really big story here isn't the mute button. By the way, the moderator won't be controlling the microphones. It will be done back where there's a board, and basically the producer and the director of the program will be controlling the audio. And it's really not as outrageous as I think most people. You've heard a lot of people say, well, it's a change of the rules. The rules are not supposed to be changed in real time. There are negotiations, deliberations that go back and forth with the campaigns and the commission, and then they set it in stone. Now, a pandemic occurred. Understood. Things happen. There was a cancellation, but that doesn't mean you'd fundamentally change the rules. Usually a moderator should have control over the debate. If they can't get control of the debate, then the moderator is horrible. Or in the case of Candy Crowley, she involves herself in the 2012 debate with Mitt Romney and Barack Obama and basically scores points for Obama when it turned out she was fact-checked, had to apologize because she backed a claim that never happened in the Rose Garden of the White House, dealing with Benghazi. In this, but we also had a debate yesterday in New York 27 where Nate McMurray, the Libertarian candidate, Chris Jacobs, the Republican, they were masked up at St. Joe's. St. Joe's does an incredible service by hosting this debate every election. They do a great job. They take it seriously. They're doing a great benefit, not only for the young people of their school, but for the rest of the community. But the audio that Channel 2 had yesterday, could you just play just a little bit from there? This was on the WGRZ website. Now, WBN has better quality, but it's still not that great. I mean, I'm just going to say that Saddam Hussein's execution had better audio than this. This is horrible. You can't hear a thing. It's very difficult to hear. It's just that echo. It's that gymnasium sound. It didn't sound good. I think they would be far better served to just put it through a board and have a device out there so that we could get quality digital audio. But it doesn't take away from what St. Joe's does, what they represent, having students hearing from their potential congressmen and women are brilliant. They're wearing masks. They were doing their best. Really, there was no, I didn't think there was anything there that was a big takeaway. If you support Jacobs, you're going to support him. If you don't, you don't. The Libertarian candidate put out his, you know, point of view. He had an opportunity and a platform. Hey, Frank and Holland, what did you think of the New York debate in 27 yesterday?
You know what? I was really impressed with the way it was handled by the students and the faculty and the way it was arranged. The audio, as you mentioned, was leaving to be desired. And Duane Whitmer, the Libertarian candidate, it just seems to me that, you know, Jacobs scammed his endorsement. McMurray, you know, we don't want to go down that creepy road. But Whitmer, I mean, he was pretty much a blend of all of what they were doing. He got my vote with that last night, or yesterday, watching that debate. And the St. Joe School, I went out of my way this morning to call them and compliment them on the questioning, because the questions were not circus style like you see out of the other moderators for the presidential debates and things like that. They were, you know, hardcore.
What's his name? Ted, who runs that?
Lina.
Ted Lina. He's brilliant. He really does a great service. He takes this seriously. But these young people at St. Joe's are getting an opportunity to not only be a part of a process. Most of them aren't going to be able to vote, but that's how you shape young minds. Take this seriously. These are important questions. He deserves a tremendous amount of credit at St. Joe's. My only criticism is that it literally sounded like Jessica in a well for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, I had to go to three different feeds to try to find the best one. Like you say, Channel 2, you know, whatever. Channel 7 had it, and it was not bad. And the St. Joe's website, their Facebook page, had it. And people can still access it to go and look at it and, you know, think for themselves. It's like, hey, you know, Duane Whitmer said it. You know, instead of talking about change like they all do, the Democrats and Republicans, make change. I mean, the two parties that have done it forever, that control it, have put us where we're at.
What are you looking forward to tonight in the big debate, national debate? What would be your advice for Biden, and what would you advise President Trump if that was your paid position, Frank?
The very first thing I would do if I were them is apologize to the American people for their behavior in the last debate. I mean, if you want to get the people's attention and take it seriously, they really need to apologize, both of them, for their behavior. Each one of them. That debate was just a circus, I mean, flinging from a cage. And I was horrified when I saw the whole thing, and I don't even really want to watch it if it's the same thing again. I'd rather see them debate. I'd rather see them moderated by St. Joe's. I mean,
right. Wouldn't that be something? Have St. Joe's run the next one.
You know what? If they want to gather attention and get, you know, it's by the people, for the people. Well, those people at St. Joe's, they handled that so well last night. I would rather see them do the debate moderation.
Most people would think that that's cheapening the debate process by saying, you know, a high school is out there doing a better job. It really should just give total credit to what St. Joe's, what they're doing, the way that they're educating these young people. And really, Ted Lina is just really a great, gifted, smart guy who takes it seriously. I really, really respect him, and I really appreciate when he comes on and talks about debates. He knows what he's talking about, and he's a good man. Frank, I appreciate your 2 cents. Let's go to Scott in Toronto. What do you think, Scott, about the big debate tonight?
I think Mr. Trump should come out and say, I want to donate my first 2 minutes to Mr. Biden to explain the laptop thing, and then just drop the mic and let him talk and don't say a word.
No, that really is a brilliant strategy. Is to if you're going to, you know, fix the sins of the first debate, you know, a lot of people are saying interrupting. I know you're frustrated. I know you're, you know, he's an emotional guy when it comes to what he considers to be injustice in that process. But again, allow Biden to speak.
Exactly. He's going to mess it up. The guy's like a hammer's.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, certainly the more you give him latitude, the more he's going to, you know, definitely, you know, cause his own problems, as he has his entire career. A lot of people say, though, the criticism of Trump is that the more Trump speaks, you know, Trump ends up getting into the weeds, too. And that's a criticism to him. If you're advising Joe Biden, though, what would Joe Biden have to say about the hard drives to make you think that this is legitimate?
There's nothing he could say. The cat's out of the bag. Everyone knows he's a scammer and there's shenanigans all over the place.
It's, you know, listen, that really speaks to, you know, the fact that people, pretty much people's minds are made up and people are convinced that this is just, you know, this is what people do. The Democrats are going to defend no matter what evidence is out there. The Republicans are going to defend no matter what evidence is out there. It's unfortunate that it's come down to that. But again, the past, the fact that Joe Biden is, and again, you know, a lot of attention was made over Barack Obama going to Philadelphia and talking yesterday. I have to remind you that not only did the former president, Barack Obama, wait until after the primary process to endorse the vice president who sat next to him for 8 years, but he also didn't even endorse him in 2016 when he wanted to run.
That's right.
He chose Hillary Clinton. So this is a reluctant campaigner. And the idea, could you imagine if Obama was running in 2012 and he sent his surrogates out 12 days before an election? He had his people fired up in August going out there.
That's right.
There's no way that Obama would have run the campaign or even tolerated Joe Biden not leaving the couch until 12 days before an election. That's just outrageous. But Scott, appreciate your feedback. Let's go to Texas Terry. Texas Terry, what's on your mind, sir?
First of all, let me just give you credit for the baby Jessica and the well reference. I don't know how many people caught that.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Terry.
Yes, sir. So I told you this once before. I'm going to tell you again. Whoever smelt it, dealt it. Everything that the Democrats accuse the right of doing is the stuff that they themselves are actually involved in. The corruption, the racism, the sexual deviancy, like all of it. Everything from the top down. It's always them. That's where they get their ideas to point the finger and say, this is what you're doing. I don't think, you know, Biden can walk back anything about his son tonight. You see a lot on the internet. I see a lot like from Officer Tatum. You know, apparently this dude was like a crackhead for a pretty long time. You know, I don't see how you can defend that being Joe Biden. I hope that the president maintains his composure. He doesn't hurt my feelings when he goes off. I didn't think he did too bad a job last time. I found that debate pretty entertaining. But then again, you know, I'm into that kind of stuff. But, you know, for the sake of people that are, you know, looking for a little bit more, you know, presidential demeanor, I guess, out of President Trump, I hope he maintains his composure, keeps it to policy, gets a few subtle jabs in there, and just like y'all just been saying, let Biden talk, because that man can't go a full, you know, 5 minutes or even 2 minutes without talking about cornbread and cockroaches and leg hair. I mean,
that was my favorite speech of all time, by the way. Thank you for bringing that up. That is one of my all-time favorites. It's absolutely brilliant.
I think the line is
corn pop.
I don't see, you know, this debate, you know, swaying too many people. I think everybody knows who they're voting for. And, you know, I can tell you what, at the Trump train rally I was at the other day, everybody there sure knew who they were voting for. And it was pretty proud and amazing to see all that America and freedom flying around. And, you know, makes you feel good about, you know, hopefully the outcome of the election will be, you know, where we want to see it go without any shenanigans at the ballots or, you know, mail-in voting and all that nonsense.
Yeah, you know, that one can hope. I appreciate your call as always, Texas Terry. Good to get you back in rotation. We've missed you for a very long time. Keep those high beams on when you see the white-tailed deer.
I sure will. I keep flashing.
We're going to get some flashes. Hey, Terry, thank you very much. And that was not a Jeffrey Toobin reference, by the way. He was talking about light flashing. Again, getting back, now we also have some news in the last 25 minutes. The Senate Judiciary Committee has met. Now, there was a story last week. We didn't really touch it because there was too much going on. But Dianne Feinstein gave a hug to Lindsey Graham. Both, she's in the minority in the Senate, of course, on the committee. He's the chairman of the Judiciary. And they hugged each other. And she had some complimentary words about Lindsey Graham. And the left went crazy over Dianne Feinstein having anything to do with. How dare you? He's the enemy. What are you doing? They were calling for Dianne Feinstein's removal from the Senate, not the committee, the Senate. Chuck Schumer, the minority leader in the Senate, who will be running the majority if they win enough Senate seats in the election, he had a heart-to-heart. He leaked to the media that he had a very serious and sobering conversation with Dianne Feinstein about her behavior. Well, things have changed with the Democrats and the Senate, and they decided to not show up in the committee, in the Judiciary Committee, to vote for the confirmation to pass this through to a floor vote. The floor vote is expected next Monday, the 26th, and they didn't show up at all. So it quickly went through the Republicans, 12 voted, and she is now to a floor vote in the Senate. I mean, again, the idea that Schumer got involved and said, do not participate. I get the optics, whatever their polling is showing them, they're all going to vote no. Although Cory Booker sounded like he was a fan of Amy Coney Barrett, but they have decided to vote, to not even participate in the vote today.
You want to talk about just a complete meltdown. I mean, we're talking about a hug and, you know, hopefully we can put this division beside us no matter who wins the election. And they're like, no. We want this division.
They're doubling down on it.
We can't have Dianne Feinstein, who 6 months ago was a icon. Now they want her kicked out of Senate. And so much so that Charles Schumer has to address the media about having a talk with her because, I mean,
hugged him.
The comments on Twitter
were vicious. And I really thought the complaints were that she violated COVID.
That's what I thought.
I thought they were upset that she hugged him and he wasn't wearing a mask and he was exposed to people with COVID and that was what the issue was. No, it was the issue that she was actually showing humanity and thanking him for allowing her to do political theater and make ridiculous allegations. I mean, everyone went to Kinko's and printed out a picture of someone with pre-existing conditions. This guy's dead. Amy Coney Barrett helped kill him. I mean, that's basically all they had. Dick Durbin spent his entire... No one asked a question. They were just bringing up people that died in their district and said how Amy Coney Barrett will kill more people, take choice away from women. They don't show up. Schumer tells them not to participate. So, look, I mean, and again, the deadline, Pelosi's deadline has come and passed. She said, this is the last day I'm going to negotiate. It's so important that Americans get relief before Election Day that here's the deadline, and we're fighting over $400 billion. In a $1.8 trillion offer, you want $2.2 trillion. To me, the whole thing is clumsy. It doesn't make any sense. But we also have breaking news out of Minnesota, where one of the charges of third-degree murder has been dropped on one of the officers, Derek Chauvin, I think is his name. He is still facing second-degree murder and manslaughter, but third-degree was dropped against one of the officers. What that means, will there be protests? I mean, one of the cops that were involved in the George Floyd had a murder charge dropped. Surely there'll be protests and violence. There has been throughout, right? Not before the election. It turns out the polling is back on the looting, the fires, and the protests and the violence. And it turns out that Americans, particularly African Americans, don't really appreciate that in their neighborhoods. Go figure. Who would have known? We'll have more of this and so much more. We're going to talk more. You know, there's a big argument now over the Electoral College. What better time to have that debate than 2 weeks before a presidential election? The popular vote, one vote, one person, one vote over the Electoral College. Let's have that debate in Congress. We're not going to pass a stimulus bill for the American people, but let's debate things as they're happening now. It makes sense, really, when you think about it. But first,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.